Hey everybody, this is Pierre Quinn, and you're listening to episode number 64 of the Leading Wild Green podcast, where my mission is to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. On this episode of the podcast, my guest is leadership development consultant, coach, trainer, and author, Nathan Magnuson. And during our conversation, we talk about Nathan's leadership journey, and he shares highlights from his new book, Ignite Your Leadership, Become the Trusted Advisor Others Seek. It's a great conversation. So listen up. Before we jump into the conversation with Nathan Magnuson, just want to give you some updates about some of the things that are happening at prcquinn.com and beyond. Now, if you haven't signed up for my free leadership development course, shame on you. That's right. I said it. Shame on you. Sign up for the course at my website, prcquinn.com, 12 ways to grow as a leader, 4 dynamic video lessons, packed with great content and actionable stuff that you can use to grow your leadership. You can check that out at prcquinn.com. Also want to encourage you to be a part of the crew that has headed over to iTunes and left a review, a 5-star review and some comments. Those really help us with the iTunes algorithm and really helps us push this message of effective leadership. Some of you have texted, some of you have posted it to social media, some of you have sent email links to your friends, and we appreciate all of that. You're helping the audience grow, and you're helping us share the message. And I would just want to encourage you to keep doing it, especially that iTunes review. As a matter of fact, you can just hit pause and do that right now. Okay, our featured conversation today is with Nathan Magnuson, corporate leadership development consultant, coach, and trainer. Now, Nathan has worked as a staff person or in a consulting role with several Fortune 500 companies and large public service organizations, including Accenture, Masco, FBI, and the Defense Intelligence Agency. Nathan is also a military veteran. He served a tour with the Army Special Ops in Operation Iraqi Freedom. And the highlight of our conversation is when Nathan shares with us some insights from his new book, Ignite Your Leadership Expertise, Become the Trusted Advisor Others Seek. We have a great chat about life and leadership. So here's my conversation with Nathan Magnuson. Excited to have as my guest on this podcast, corporate leadership development consultant, coach, trainer, and the author of the new book, Ignite Your Leadership Expertise, Nathan Magnuson. Nathan, thanks for joining me today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Pierre. I'm excited to be here.
Okay, so you just released your new book. Tell those of us who are aspiring authors what that feels like and what that journey has been like for you.
Well, sure. I call myself the proud parent of a new book baby. I've had it inside me, I think, to do for, a lot of years now. Had a few different false starts, found a book that was 100% me. It was, my message, things that I've learned, a lot of times the hard way, but that's how you learn a lot of those lessons, and just, excited to share this. So, it came out, here recently, October 16th. So, a lot of work. I speculated at the beginning that I think actually writing the words would be the easy part. And I was correct. It comes with a lot of marketing and getting the word out, but I've had a good launch team to help out with that. So excited to have something that is easy to share with people, and that, you can actually see it and hold it at the end of the day.
Yeah, great cover, great premise for the book. We'll put it in the show notes to make sure that people who are listening head over to Amazon or wherever books are sold and get a copy. I've downloaded my copy from my Kindle, so I've been digging into it, and I'm going to ask you some questions about it. But relative to the title, let's go back a little bit. The title, Ignite Your Leadership Expertise, kind of a two-part question. How'd you come up with the title? And for you personally, when do you feel like your leadership was ignited?
Yeah, man, those are great questions. So the title, I'm actually really excited about the title, Pierre, because it speaks to a couple of different dichotomies of the leadership conversation. So, Ignite Your Leadership Expertise really kind of gets to the core of what does it mean not just to be a leader, but someone who has an expertise in what leadership actually is. And then the subtitle, become the trusted advisor others seek.
Yeah, that's good.
Which speaks to a different part of the equation, which is that people actually trust you. They want your input. They want your advice. And so, you know, you could know everything there is to know about leadership. If nobody wants your input, then honestly, it doesn't really matter. So that's what we talk about in the book. It's actually not. So most people, when they think about leadership, they think leading teams, leading other people. I'm a leader. I have followers. Mm-hmm. It's actually not. This isn't that book. You know, maybe that'll be another book, you know, along the way. But it's more about the expertise side. So when the topic of leadership comes up, you know what to say. You have something to contribute. You have something to kind of guide you in your journey of having influence with other people. And then the other piece of that is the trust piece, that people actually look to you, they come to you, they want to know what you know so that you can help them kind of get there on their own leadership journey as well. So that's kind of where the title came from, and, you know, excited about that. Kind of, I guess, where I was when my own interest got ignited. I can actually remember this very clearly, Pierre. I was a second semester senior in college. And I was fortunate enough to know what I wanted to major in, kind of where I wanted to work after school. You know, a lot of folks, you know, a lot of young folks, that's hard, you know, to pick a major and to launch their careers. I was working on my business degree, and I knew I wanted to work in business. You know, there's still a lot that I was trying to figure out, but I at least had it down that far. And on the recommendation of one of my colleagues, they said, you need to take this organizational leadership class. I just think you'd really like it. So last semester in school, I take this organizational leadership class, and it just clicks for me, where I think, wow, I get it. I've always, up until now in my life, I've thought that a leader is someone who has charisma, they have a certain type of personality, they have, they're popular. When they say, let's go, everyone, you know, follows them in droves. And I learned in that class, that's not what it's about. It's about having influence, about creating change. It's about being able to define what that change needs to be, and communicate it to other people so that they can, you know, help make it happen. Whether you're in the front, whether you're in the back, whether you're on the side, you know, there's opportunities for everyone. And I said to myself, I don't know who does this job in an organization, but I want one. Mm-hmm. And since then, I've come to find out that, hey, we've got opportunities, leadership opportunities for everyone, no matter what your job is, no matter what your position in the organization. But I've been fortunate for about the last decade to be able to actually work in corporate leadership development, either on the consulting side or on the corporate staff side. So it's made a big difference in my life. And I'm happy to say that, you know, haven't lost that fire that was ignited in me back in school. And in fact, I dedicated the book to my professor, Dr. Jeff Myers, from all the way back then, because that's when it started.
So you, in your bio, and when people go and check out your book on Amazon, they'll have a chance to read your bio there as well. It has this section that you're a military veteran. So how did the military help frame some of your perspective on leadership? And then how was it transitioning or going from your experience in a military environment to your experience in the corporate world?
Yeah. A lot of people ask about that, Pierre. And so, it's kind of interesting because once I graduated from undergrad, I went to, I got a job in the business world. My first job was actually in accounting. And, I know a lot of folks here, they're incredible accountants. They're as passionate about accounting as I am about, you know, leadership development. They do a great job. I just realized quickly that wasn't the best right fit for me. And so I had never actually thought about joining the military until kind of all of a sudden, you know, it seemed like the right opportunity for me at the time. So I ended up joining after school, after I was already in corporate. I found a specialty in the Army with the special operations in civil affairs. It just seemed like a good opportunity to kind of work a little bit hands-on with my business education. Mm-hmm. And so, but it was on the reserve side also. So I was in Kansas City at the time, you know, my unit, 418th Civil Affairs Battalion out of Belton. We spent a year in Iraq in 2008. And then from there, ended up moving to DC and, you know, kind of doing the corporate consulting thing at the same time. So I think you're close to DC, Pierre, but, you know, on any given Friday, you know, afternoon, you may see folks wearing, you know, their business outfit, but with a big old camo rucksack on their back and trying to hustle down to the airport, going off to duty for the weekend. And I was doing that for a couple years. So I had the benefit really of being in both cultures at the same time. And, you know, to answer your question, one of the things that I say in my book about developing an expertise in leadership is that the education you can get by observation is mm-hmm. as free an education as it gets. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so, you know, being in the military, you get the opportunity to just observe so many different leadership examples. And one of the things about the military is, you know, it's very hierarchical, which means that almost everyone has a leadership position at any given time, you know, even if it's down to, you know, you got, you know, one or a handful of service members all the way on up to the top. And a lot of people are thrown into those positions before they're ready. Mm-hmm. And so, mm-hmm. you know, everyone's kind of a work in progress, which means there's a lot of great examples from people who've been doing it for a long time. And there's a lot of examples from people who are just trying to figure it out. So, you know, all you have to do is keep your eyes open and you can see, wow, here's some great ones. Here's some not so great ones. You look in the mirror and evaluate, you know, how am I doing in my own leadership as well. And then you go on the, you know, for me going on the corporate side, you just have the benefit of contrast, you know, mm-hmm. so you can see this worked in the military this way or in this situation with these people. And then, you know, in the corporate environment, you know, some of that would help here. Some of it's just different. And then, you know, by nature of the fact of being in consulting, I was working with multiple clients at the same time. So now there's multiple different environments. So, you know, I definitely had my eyes open. And that's one of the things I encourage in the book is keep your eyes open. There's so much to learn just by example. Any mistake from someone else that you can mm-hmm. pay attention to, you save yourself potentially from making your on your own. So a lot of great examples in the military, a lot of great examples from corporate as well. And so hopefully I've been able to pick the best from all worlds.
Talk to us a little bit about what you propose as sort of levels to leadership and this idea that, you know, that first level of leadership is really taking responsibility. But then that second level of leadership is then this need for leaders to give responsibility.
Yeah, that is a really fun conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you brought that part up. So taking responsibility or taking ownership is really where it all starts. Regardless of your level of authority, you know, at the very core of it, we take responsibility for ourselves, for our own actions, for our attitude, for our words, for our drive, for our ability to bounce back when things don't work out our way. We take responsibility for the results mm-hmm. That we produce. If we have a team, we're taking responsibility for their results also. One of the tricky nuances where this comes in is, especially when we have folks working for us, mm-hmm. when we're on their team and we're trying to take responsibility, which means we're taking responsibility for their results as well. And so it can be real easy to start just dictating every move or every step because, you know, we want to make sure we get it right. And I'll be the first one to say that this is tricky for myself as well. But, you know, what can happen is that we can take so much ownership that we don't allow other people to develop. You know, so most people prefer not to be micromanaged, maybe unless they're brand new and really need the extra guidance, you know, but kind of after that first step, you know, they want to pick up the ball and run with it themselves. And so that's where I say that taking responsibility is really leadership 101. Leadership 102 is when we give enough responsibility for others so that they are developing as a leader, they're producing their own results, they can grow into someone who can come into their own as a leader, take on more responsibility, take on, you know, perhaps leading a team themselves. There's another nuance up here when we're talking about being a leadership, you know, what I call a leadership expert, you know, someone who's a trusted advisor of others. When folks start to come to you with their leadership challenges, you know, and they want your input, you may not be responsible for them, but because they see you not only as an expert, but as someone that they trust as an advisor, you know, they want your input. There will be times when they come to you with a leadership challenge and it'll just be easier to give them the answer right then and there. You know, it's efficient, you know, it just helps right then. But the thing is that people, you know, they still have the opportunity to develop on their own. Maybe when we hold back every now and then, we hold back on the answer and maybe we just listen, we ask them questions to help them work through the challenges that they are going for. That's one of the things I share in the book is that people are always more motivated and will take more ownership of a solution when they've come up with the solution themselves. And so that's one way that we can give responsibility to other people is by helping, supporting, and directing appropriately, but also kind of giving them space to grow in their own development along the way.
Now, one of the things that you highlight in the book is that sometimes we get to the place where we're excited about leadership development, but then we notice that the people around us don't share the same passion. They're, you know, you got all these books and strategies and things that you want to share. How, as a leader, do you keep that fire alive when maybe the individuals on your team or even your colleagues aren't as passionate about leadership development and growing leaders as you are?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a great question. And you know, on one hand, you don't want to be the person that just force feeds enthusiasm when other people kind of, you know, they're working in their own, they've got their own MO, right? And so one of the things is I think just recognizing that people are ready when they're ready. And, you know, I remember a conversation I had, this was really early on, funny enough, with my dentist. So I think I was, gosh, I was 21 or 22. And she had been a dentist for a while, but she had just bought out her practice. So now instead of just doing the work of a dentist, she's now a business owner. She's responsible for the staff. She's talented and very capable and smart in many ways, but it's a new leadership challenge. And so I remember she asked me point blank, what does it mean? What does it really mean to be a leader? And I wasn't quite as ready to answer the question, Pierre, then as I am now. But I think it underscores underscores the fact that you know, a lot of people, they kind of all of a sudden get this sense of enthusiasm or excitement about becoming a leader, about figuring out what it means to be a leader. But some of it isn't because, you know, they just read the John Maxwell book, although, you know, a lot of folks, you know, that's where it comes from. A lot of them, it happens because they experience a leadership challenge that they're just a little bit out of their league for. And that's why when we can become the expert and the advisor that people seek, we're the folks they're going to with their questions. We're the ones that they are coming to with, you know, their leadership challenges. where, you know, they need someone, you know, to help them out, point them in the right direction. One of the things that I've realized here, and I've said to other people is, you don't need to be to have a PhD in leadership to be a leadership expert. You don't need to work in HR. That's for sure. There's an opportunity for everyone, no matter where you are. And I've been fortunate enough to have an education. I was able to go to graduate school for organizational leadership development, and to work in the field. That just means it's so much more important for me to support the folks who their expertise is in other areas, and hopefully the book can help them develop that leadership expertise along the journey also.
So your thought, your suggestion, you don't have to be, you know, have a PhD in leadership or have some elaborate training in order to be a good leader or an effective leader. Well, what if I'm listening to this podcast? I'm early in my career. I'm transitioning jobs, or I may be even still in college and I'm thinking, okay, how do I even discover, how do I even find out, you know, if I'm a leader or if I have influence? I hear about this nebulous thing called leadership, but what are some of the steps that I take to discover my own leadership potential?
Yeah. So I have actually got two sections on this in the book. And the first one is a little bit of a mindset. And then the second one is kind of a little bit of a checklist. You know, here's some things you can do. So, Pierre, a couple things on the mindset side. The first one, the first thing to think about is no matter who you are, okay, you are most likely already a leadership expert to someone. And most people think that way. But think about it. If you've got kids, if you've got friends, if you've got a spouse or significant other, if you have people in your life who talk about the challenges at work or just that they're dealing with, they are giving you the opportunity to influence them. That means at some level, no matter how great, no matter how small, you are already a leadership expert to them. Another thing that on the mindset side is that a title doesn't make you a leader. There are plenty of people with titles, and their leadership results just aren't great. There are a lot of people that don't have the titles and they're doing fantastic. So when we think about leadership as influence, we all have a certain degree of influence no matter where we are. And then the other thing about on the mindset side is, I think of leadership expertise as a journey that we're all on. And all of us have started and none of us have finished. So we're kind of all in the same boat as far as that goes. Now there are certainly levels of expertise. There are people that I will not put myself in the same category yet. Maybe I'll get there. But from that sense, we are all on the same journey. And then the other thing I always like to include, this is probably my favorite quote from the book, is that you're never too unqualified to set a good example. So when people think, I'm not ready yet, I'm not important enough, I'm not in a position yet, hey, the most important thing leaders do is they set a good example, and you can set a good example no matter where you are. It's always the right time. And then, in terms of practice, there's just so many different things that we can all do. I have a lot of examples of, how to have leadership type conversations, how to listen at an active, empathetic level to understand, how to ask great questions that get to the root of issues, how to, like we said, learn by observation. So pay attention to what's happening around you, pay attention to what's working, what's not working, pay attention to the other thought leaders out there. So, read all the books you can get your hands on and try to see where those ideas can fit in real life, and then start practicing by sharing your ideas. Maybe for folks who are starting out, it's sharing the ideas from the book I read that I think might work in this situation. And then as you go, those ideas start to become yours, and then you see how they work. in real life. And you know, two of the other things I encourage is to, you know, start subtly self-promoting around the areas you're competent in, mm-hmm. which can be tough for people who are younger or newer to start to, you know, they're afraid to puff out their chest and look like that competent expert. But that's some of the best advice I got when I was younger, was start subtly self-promoting. Let other people know they can trust you maybe in these two or three areas. And then, you know, your influence grows from there. And then kind of like I shared that tip on setting a good example. At the end of the day, we can all serve. Hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that for me and for other people, it takes the pressure off. When you think, gosh, the pressure is getting on my shoulders to perform, to get these results, to know maybe more than I know right now, just take a step back and look in the mirror and say, who am I responsible for serving and what do they need? And then just go do that and you'll have done your job.
Hmm. That's good stuff. Good stuff. Great stuff, Nathan. And I want to encourage everyone to pick up your copy of Ignite Your Leadership Expertise. So, Nathan, tell us first, where can we find it? Where can we find the book? And where can we keep up with you? This is what I like to call shameless plug time. Give us all your social media stuff. Just pour it on us and we'll make sure it gets into the show. Uh-huh.
Well, I think kind of the easiest way to find all of the above up here is just my website, NathanMagnuson.com. My last name is Magnuson, MagnuSon. And so, you know, I'm on social media. You'll see links there on the site. You'll also see links to the book, Ignite Your Leadership Expertise. It's available on Amazon. On my site, you'll see, you know, a link in my little menu and my sidebar there. And I also want to mention, I've got a free white paper called 9 Ways to Be the Boss Everyone Wants to Work For. Mm-hmm. So when we were putting this book together, my designer said, you've got to have a freebie to go with the book. And so I decided, well, since the book is not so much about leading a team, I said, well, let me make the freebie about leading a team. So I wrote a little white paper, 9 ways to be the boss everyone wants to work for. People said, well, you know, why do you got to make it so complicated? 9 ways. I said, it's not like that. Like, if maybe you try the first 8 and if it doesn't work for you, you still got one more chance.
Nice.
So you see that on the website as well.
My conversation today has been with corporate leadership development consultant, coach, trainer, and author Nathan Magnuson. And we want to encourage you to check out the show notes and buy several copies, not just one, buy several copies of his book for your team, for your colleagues, for your friends, or for anyone who needs to grow as a leader. Thank you, sir, for our conversation today. I know I was blessed by it, and I know the listeners will be as well.
All right. Thanks, Pierre. It's a pleasure.
Great conversation with Nathan Magnuson about his personal leadership journey and about his new book, Ignite Your Leadership Expertise, Become the Trusted Advisor Others Seek. And I want to encourage you to do 2 things now that we're at the end of this episode. Number one, I want you to hop over to NathanMagnuson.com. Check out Nathan's work, and there you will find links to his book. Now, I put all of his stuff in the show notes, so you have no excuse. I put it right where you can get it. But check out Nathan's book. It's available on Amazon. It's really, really price effective, especially for those of you looking to grow your leadership and you're trying to find ways to do it that won't break the bank. Nathan's book is a great way to start. And I also want to encourage you to hop over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review and some comments about how much you enjoy the Leading While Green podcast and how much of a difference it's making for you, how insightful it's been. As a matter of fact, you can cite some of your favorite episodes and who the guests were, and really let other people know about this journey to becoming a more effective leader that you're on by listening to this podcast. Okay, can you do that for me? Will it be better if I say please or pretty please? Hey, that's all I got for this episode. And until next time, take care and God bless.